Welcome back to the Marion County Midday Magazine. It's now time for Let's Talk Pella. My guest today is Two Rivers Cooperative, Justin Hibner.
Justin, we really appreciate your time. Let's start by talking about the government shutdown. You guys do interact with government agencies quite often, and you're really a great source for the farmers. Talk about where you might not be getting some of the information you once did.
Well, the biggest way that we're going to be affected by it is we're not going to get the government reports that we rely on. The best examples of those are going to be like the Commitment of Traders report, so we're not going to know the degree that the funds are long or short, the number of contracts for each commodity, like energy reports, even the USDA announcements for large corn or bean or wheat purchases. If another country came in and bought a big chunk of corn or beans, say China, for instance, came in and bought a bunch of beans, with the lack of having these reports come out, we wouldn't necessarily know that that even occurred. So all those big purchases like that in the meantime could be flying under the radar, and we're not going to know about it.
We've got great weather, which is good for farming, but is it too late for that to make any effect, or what's the weather going to look like for here now that we're in October?
Well, the weather's been good. I mean, we've been pretty warm, dry for the most part. We've had some rains here and there, but we're seeing the beans dry down fairly quickly, and the corn's doing the same. We're having some pretty good moisture numbers all of a sudden. It looks like that warmer weather is going to stick around for just a little bit longer. Then we're talking some frost here towards the weekend, and then again in the 11-day forecast or so as of today, they're looking at maybe more potential for some frost or freeze out there. So it won't affect us so much in this area, I don't believe, because I think a lot of the maturity is already occurred for these corn and beans. Where it might affect them a little bit more is in the northern Iowa, Minnesota, and the Dakotas, and maybe even Wisconsin to a certain degree. It could affect a portion of their crop up there, but there again, if they were able to get the crop in a fairly timely manner, it really shouldn't affect them all that much.
And remind our non-farmers, what does the first frost represent to someone who is farming?
The first frost, if it's fairly cool, I mean, not, you know, just flirting with 32 degrees, what it does is it shuts down the maturity of the plant. It kills it more or less. And but if maturity's already occurred in that plant and now it's just in the process of drying down, then it really doesn't affect it all that much. But if it's before maturity and you get a killing freeze on it, then you're seeing that plant die prematurely, and that's certainly not a good thing.
Well, we'll talk about prices here in a second, but first, let's talk about how the crop looks. You had some pleasant surprises, possibly.
Yeah, we have. We've had some very good reports of corn yields out there. In most cases, significantly better, 30 bushel or more better than what they thought. And I think a lot of that goes back to the old saying that corn is made in July. Granted, we were dry in July, but we did not have the extreme heat that we had a year ago, and we were able to get those overnight temperatures down to a cooler level than they were a year ago, and it allowed that plant to kind of rest a little bit overnight. So we didn't see the stress on the plant in the form of heat. It appears that is really paying off with the yields this fall. So beans are still fairly early, but some early reports we've seen have been all over the board. So it's really hard to get a gauge on what our final yield numbers are going to be for beans right now. But there again, I think we'll know quite a bit more here in another week to 10 days.
Well, as you mentioned, it is hard to predict. With abnormal weather being the new normal, how hard is it in the future going to be to predict this stuff at all?
Well, that's the thing. You know, the last couple of years, we've been reminded that we can do everything that we can. But it's a pretty big reminder that, you know, we're not the one in charge. The weather is always going to be the bottom line about how good or bad a crop is going to be. And, you know, we can only try to hedge our bets and take a little bit of risk off the table, so to speak. And, you know, just try to weather the storm as much as we possibly can, and not try to outguess it. Because once you try to outguess it, then that's usually where bad things happen. But yeah, it's one of those things to where you can't predict it, you know, so we can only make decisions with what we know for right now.
Again, we're joined with Justin Hibner from Two Rivers Cooperative discussing all things farming as we're here now into October. Well, as you mentioned, all you can do is kind of hedge your bets and hope for the best. a lot of farmers, with prices going up, were starting to try to farm as much land as possible, but that's actually adjusted the prices back down a little bit. Talk about that cycle and where we're headed in that process.
Yeah, there's an old trading axiom out there that says that high prices cure high prices, and we're certainly seeing that this year. We've got a record number of corn acres out there, for instance, and $7-$8 corn really encourages guys to go out and tear up maybe some ground that's a little bit more marginal, whether that be pasture or CRP or maybe even some alfalfa ground. That it really has paid off for in the last couple of years to tear that ground up. Now we're seeing a pretty good year, and we're seeing that maybe some of that more marginal ground isn't going to pay off near as much as it has in the last couple of years. And so I wouldn't be totally shocked to see some more of those acres get re-enrolled into CRP, maybe more of it go back to pasture, because it some of that ground just isn't going to pencil out as a money-making farm.
All right, Justin, so you're here in the thick of it day in and day out. We hear the reports and all that. What are you guys talking about as we wrap up our interview today on Let's Talk Pella that people should be thinking about, again, as we're just entering October?
Well, the biggest thing, usually we see a 15-year seasonal has been that we bottom price-wise the first week of October. So things are kind of ugly right now after this stocks report that kind of blindsided everybody. But all hope is not lost at this point yet. We still got a long year ahead of us, and everything looks doom and gloom right now. But things can change rather quickly too. So we still got a lot of people to feed in this world, and there's a lot of demand out there for the various byproducts too. So it feels bad right now, but things always change, and that's where we see the market volatility. So just being smart about it. We're probably the $7 and $8 corn days are gone, and the $17 bean days are gone. But there's still some money to be made out there with a significantly better crop. Don't be afraid to take some of that money that's out there when you see a pretty good opportunity, because I think we're if these numbers are right with the corn and bean yields, we're certainly in a new age right now.
So as the Hawkeye football fans like to say, America still needs farmers?
America certainly still needs farmers, absolutely.
Very good, Justin. We'll talk to you again shortly.
You bet. Thank you.
This has been today's Let's Talk Pella. Stay tuned to the Marion County Midday Magazine. Today's official Weather Eye Meteorologist forecast is next.